In Jesus, most precious name we pray. Mighty God, be exalted. Father, we thank you. Let only your name alone tonight be highly exalted. Receive the praise of your glory. Thank you for the good things that you will do and that you are set to do even tonight. Lord, I pray for the men and the women that are here tonight, that from wherever anyone is joining in tonight from, within the states of this nation, outside of the country, or from whatever corner or quarter of this earth that they are listening to tonight's and this roundtable meeting, let the sure encounter of your spirit be evident and residential with every one of them in the name of Jesus. Let a word change someone's direction and life tonight. To the praise and glory of Jesus, most precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Welcome everyone to tonight's meeting already. For those of us who have joined in, welcome you, celebrate you, and I appreciate your presence with us tonight. Glory to God. I believe, and I want to believe, that the things that were said yesterday, we're able to take time out to pay attention again. Like we said yesterday, it was necessary for us so that we can make the most of what God is making available for us. Father, we give you praise again. Thank you. Let your grace and glory be revealed in this place and be made manifest. Thank you, Lord. Listen, spiritual information is so powerful that it can cause a spiritual revolution. The reformation of the 16th century of Martin Luther, it shook the whole world. It shook the whole world. Read your history books. It shook the whole world. One author has said that after the Lord Jesus Christ, the next figure, historical person, who has more books written, who has the next amount of volumes of book written about, second to the Lord Jesus, is the man Martin Luther and his Reformation. But it came out of spiritual insight. And then the spiritual insight rocked his world, and then his world around him. Until date, the impact of Martin Luther's Reformation continues. It is because of Martin Luther's Reformation that that the body and the church, the Christian faith, is where it is today. Spiritual information is superior to everything and anything you own. The Bible says the price of wisdom is above rubies. It's too precious. He said there's nothing you can give in exchange for it. It's priceless. So wherever you are assessing it from, or however you are getting it, for as long as it is the truth and the light of Christ coming to you, settle with it and don't trade it for any reason. He said, buy the truth, but don't sell it. Buy the truth, sell it not. He said, by whatever it costs you, some of it costs you your time, which is a constant for any given endeavor to make profit, to be profitable. Some of you, whatever is costing you is what is that buying in that scripture. But he said, buy it and don't sell it. Yesterday, we took a great deal of time to emphasize on the importance and the necessity of what you are hearing and how it goes a long way to preserve your destiny and also to obtain for many and enhance it for others. So, I believe many got the word yesterday. please, if you haven't, as by Tuesday, the boot audios for the weekend will be ready. Once it's being made available, somebody's like, how do I know when it's available? There's a platform on WhatsApp for that. The admins will put the link for you to join the platform on WhatsApp. It will be put up there and it will put up on the Telegram channel. You get it, you hear it over and over again and comprehend it. It is that important. Whatever will make for life and godliness, the Bible says he has given us through the knowledge of his Son Jesus Christ. That is, there is an arrangement and the provision of God that through revelation, what will make for your life, that is your welfare in life, your success in life, whatever will make for it, and your righteousness, what he calls all things that make for life and godliness, he made it available for you through the knowledge of Christ Jesus. The scripture, the revelation of Christ, and this, the word of God, the revelation of Christ, doesn't exclude any aspect. The difference between two Christians and the result and the fruit they are bringing up, the assets they have access to and the other doesn't have. You can walk in signs and wonders. It's not him, it's you I'm talking this thing right now. You don't have to be a pastor, a walking prophetic. The realms are not labeled pastors only. It's a realm is given to every child of God to profit. The scripture says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul began to talk about spiritual gifts. Chapter 12, I beg your pardon. He said, 12 verse 7, he said this, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Not every pastor or every to every man to profit. That is, everyone who is a member of the body of Christ is given to them. So take where you get access so seriously. Listen, what you are now is not important. It's what happens with you that is important. You may just be an ordinary boy, an ordinary girl today. Tomorrow you can be an extraordinary individual, a heavyweight personality, because of what happened with you. So what do? You seek for right places where the relevant and the right things will happen with you that will account for your continual transformation. Listen, there's how to live life. There's a how to it. It's not just counting days. No. Good will not come unless somebody is doing the right steps or taking the right steps in the direction of good. We don't know if tomorrow will be good for you if we can't give account of what your today is being used for. We don't know if tomorrow will be good for you if we can't bear witness as to what your today is being used for. There's always a how to it. What is happening to you is putting you on a pedestal where the relevant happenings will occur with you for transformation in your tomorrow. How you receive what is relevant, it's not nearly as important as receiving what is being communicated, the content thereof. And what's more, the word of God is written to you. The scripture is written. It's not like somebody is speaking it. God decided to commit his word into writing so you can have it. Or do you say that because it's written, it diminishes it? No. God is able to work wonders through the written word. We go through so much of this initial phase to admonish so that what should be in place will continually be in place for a reception with the right attitude and mindset, mentality. As attitude is very important. Koteli namaske paniaka. So pay attention to what you are receiving. Be serious with it. Nothing serious will happen, they say, unless somebody becomes serious. You are taking about 2 hours of your time every weekend to be a part of a program. Don't let that 2 hours to be unaccounted for in your destiny. It's part of your lifetime. So since you take 2 hours to fellowship here, take it seriously and build on the investment already. You will not make any meaningful step unless you are purposefully motivated. Nothing serious will happen with you unless you start taking certain things serious. At the end of it all, every man will be responsible for where they find themselves. That's why God will judge, men will be judged, because they had a say in the matter. They could change the narrative. They were not powerless in the midst of the situation. You are changing levels. Many people, as they are listening and applying the things they are hearing, and that is coming from this altar and from this circle of Jesus Christ tonight. Diverse and drastic things will occur in your life, that it will be clear to your world that it wasn't by any normal arrangement that this occurred. The finger and the work of God will be so obvious. Why? Because you have access to certain light. Father, we give you praise. As I said that just now, a certain word just flowed into my heart. Was just fired into my consciousness and knowing, and we have to share that word. I want to begin tonight by showing us something from the scripture. Remember that we are dealing in a series titled Realms in Christ. Realms in Christ. And yesterday we looked at the reality of realms. How many of us understood yesterday? Elizabeth? We got it yesterday. Emmy, right?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Glory to God. So today, yesterday we looked at the reality of realms. Before we enter fully into what we have for tonight, I want to share, just bring down this word that just became necessary or just spread open just within this moment in time. Okay, let one of us who's with the Bible and for all, most probably through the New King James, if Comfort or Maureen is there, Sandra, or anyone who finds and is able to read it for us, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's read from verse 39. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 39.
All right. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 39. It says, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and the glory of the stars. For one star differed from another star in glory.
Glory to God. That's it. Look at what the Apostle Paul said. He said, every flesh doesn't have one glory. And even the heavenly bodies. There's the glory of the sun, there's the glory of the moon, and then there's the glory of the stars. But then he went further to highlight and emphasize that the glory of the stars are not equal. They differ in glory. What he means by glory talks about their splendor, their radiance, their illumination. How much light they can cast off. We all agree and know that the brightest heavenly body in our on the earth today and in the solar system is the sun. The sun is brighter than the moon. And the sun is brighter than the stars when we observe them from the earth, because it's brighter from observation when we look into the sky. But even within the stars, as we look into the skies, we can see that the brightness of the stars are not equivalent. The level of, and he said that there's one glory of this, there's another glory of that. The level of glory you will see in your life is a function of the degree and the level of light information in Christ that you possess. The brightness of Christ's revelation that shines through you is what determines the level of the glory you will experience and walk in your life. You can't see glory beyond the mysteries of Christ that you read, that you possess. The psalmist says that your word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. In the realm of the spirit, they know who has insight and who doesn't have insight because of the level of light that their spiritual being emanates in terms of what they possess. And they give more weight and more level of, they take more serious those who have a brighter degree of light than the other. This is revelation is true also in the order of the angels. The levels of angels are noted by the depth of light and the wavelength and the frequency of divine light that they carry. Which is why in the book of Revelation, when an archangel appeared on earth, they say that his glory light lit up the whole earth. That is, the whole earth became bright. If the sun is not possible, it's not able to light up the whole portion of the earth because of position and geometric dimension in space and for other physical reasons and design reasons. But this angel had such a magnitude of illumination that when he showed up, everywhere on earth, according to scripture, became bright at once. This was not Jesus, this was not Christ himself. But there are other angels that appear to people, and when they appear, this book can still stand before them, and the brightness doesn't knock them out. The band of the spiritual wavelength of divine light that comes out of them identifies their ranking, their choir, their order, their cadre, based on spiritual capacity. When John saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he said he was like his countenance was like the light sun shining in his strength, the heat of the sun, the intensity of the sun. See, that's what it looked like. And then he fainted, and he lay there dead until Jesus came and touched him and said, "Fear not. I am the first and the last." You also being a child of God, there is that dynamics of magnitude of radiance, that operates in your spirit. And your word is a light to my path and a lamp unto my feet.
When you walk at night and you put on your torchlight, it's another level. When there is a floodlight, it's another level. When there is daylight, it's another level. When you navigate dark, the realms of the spirit, and carry out activity, they can know who possesses the word of God because of the light that illuminates them. This light is not the information you have had because you read scripture. It's the revelation that you now possess because the light of Christ shines through his word. And now it is now a real deposit in your spirit that gives us light. And the nature of spiritual things is that their light is inherent. That's why you see the light of the angel shine from them. When they see the Christ, the brightness comes from inside. Why? There's something that produces that. One star differeth from the other in glory. We will not all walk in the same realm of glory because the light of Jesus Christ that we all possess is not at the same level and magnitude. And there are some who have no magnitude. They have listened to preached word, but they have no personal insight out of the preached word that translates into a revelation that the word will be a light in their path. Do you want glory? Do you want to walk in glory? See honor and dignity in your life is tied to the magnitude of light from Jesus Christ that you possess. There is one glory of the Son. Anybody that has the glory of the Son will function and deliver at the level of the Son. He will light his world. There's one glory of the moon. Anybody that will operate in the depth of the glory of the moon will only light in the absence of the Sun, because once the Sun comes, his own radiance will not be discovered. That's why you'll be in a place doing something and then somebody comes, they say you overshadow the person because you didn't shift your dimension. But furthermore, there is still the glory of the stars. But then every star of God differed from one another. We can tell Andy's wavelength. We can tell Benjamin's wavelength. We can say this is Benjamin. This is the wavelength of his light. If Benjamin then goes somewhere and then returns with another intensified mind, when he cuts across, we'll say, who is that star? Why? We can't tell again the magnitude has shifted. Some persons have remained caged in a realm and caged in a place, and some oppressors have been prospering in your life because the wavelength of your light has not shifted. But when you go to places and you have deposit of light from God, Christ Jesus reveals something radiant, a shining deposit from himself inside you. When you return back, the things that oppress you see you and bow down. And we have those kinds of testimonies. People attend conventions and they return from conventions, and what began to oppress them, they began to oppress the things. And it's not like they went there and did so many long days, they just spent a few days. But in few days, they opened up their spirit to so much deposit that when they returned, they became the victor, they became the authority to be obeyed. They will respond to you when they see light, because dominion of light over darkness is an automatic transaction that occurs, because darkness is not a thing, it is only the absence of light. That's why till today they have created devices that produce light, but there is no device that produces darkness. Have you seen a device where you turn on the switch, everywhere becomes dark because it created darkness? No. But there are devices when you turn on the light, the darkness vanishes. But there's no device when they turn it on, the light vanishes because it broadcasts darkness. No, they can't create it because it doesn't exist. It's only the absence of a thing. The level of glory you will walk in your life, it's not how much training you went for, workshop, seminar, those things are important. But if this critical thing is not at work in your life, have you not seen learned people with multiple PhDs that their life is stagnant? Somebody has many degrees, but yet is being oppressed by an altar, an idol in the village, and his destiny is limited. The devil will not respect your qualifications, but he will honor and acknowledge your revelation and insight from God once deployed so that it can produce result. So, if you will see glory in your deeds,
must take access to light. So important, so serious. This is true. This is relevant. This is important. That I will give you praise. That's the word that just dropped. Like I said, when I said that, that's the word. And can we go ahead? Let's give him praise for that. Mashkata la balata kashka korodosh. In Jesus' most precious name we are prayed. Glory to God. Give God praise and thanks for him. Yesterday we like we said already, we are experiencing a revelation. Like I said, this is an experience, it's a revelation, which is why we have been making emphasis on you taking note of every journey and getting so much experience from every step of the way. You know, when you go for an excursion with a team and there's a guide, your teacher is there, they take you to this particular production plant, you are in this particular sector, and then they explain a lot of things. This is how airplanes are made, this is called a fabrication unit, where the metals and the parts of the airplane are shaped to form the different plants and assembled, and then you spend about 30 minutes there and they explain it. You are supposed to look around and get as much details as you can and make notes, jot things, just because after they'll move from there now to the electrical unit where the electrical installations of the airplane are integrated into the fabricated work. And then you move from there to the assembly unit where the parts that has been fabricated are put together by engineers that are there. So you take notes, you pay attention to every corner, so that at the end of this, the adventure and the excursion and that field trip, you'll go to your note and you have experience and insight. So that's why you see we've been making, so we've been on an experience that we have already tagged realms in Christ. Not that we ourselves tagged it, but that's what it is. Realms in Christ. And yesterday, as a subcaption, as a stop in this experience that God is giving to all of us, we saw the reality of realms. Today, as we proceed tonight in the time that we have, we look at what we caption here, understanding the reality of realms. Yesterday is the reality of realms. Today is understanding that reality. If you were not around yesterday, like we have said again, you should get the audios. All right, so we began our reading from our rolling scriptures, and we will take a look at it. We looked at Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse number 15. We started from there to get a good background. All right, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15 said, "Therefore I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." Glory to God. And then Ephesians chapter 2 again and verse 4 to 6. "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we are dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Jesus is Lord. Now, those were the two scriptures we used to roll yesterday, the rolling scriptures. And we talked about those scriptures, trying to explain what the realm is. And we looked at etymological usage of the word to give us a background to understand the world itself, with the coupled our understanding to show us that the world realm is not a Christian or a spiritual world, that is actually a word that is used within secular context as well, and that its application in scriptures was borrowed from its secular context, so that because it gave sufficient definition and meaning to what was being spoken about, right? So we looked at all of that yesterday, and we ended by looking at the book of Genesis. So we'll go back to Genesis chapter 1, where we looked about the realm. All right, so we begin from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, which is the first scripture of the Bible, and it opens for us the gates into the revelation of God through scriptures. He said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Full stop. Now, yesterday we said that this creation of heaven and the earth, that the heavens refer to Shamayim, which is what we know as the observable universe and the cosmos, and then the earth. And we showed you that in creating that, God created a realm out of nothing for man to occupy. At about this time in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. There was no mention of man yet. And you would know that the earth was ready before man was created. So God created the realm for man so that man could inhabit. And together and along with our understanding of the word realm, we pointed out that in the 27th verse and 28th verse of the same chapter, you could already see God now issuing dominion to man over the state, which is the realm he created man. And so we rounded up by saying that this creation, the observable physical world, the cosmos as man is and as other entities are, is actually a realm. It's actually a realm. Now, if God created, and so now we begin from there, because we are taking off from where we stopped yesterday. So pay attention, because we are moving now, glory, and exploring deeper. Glory to God. Now, glory to God. If God created the Shamayim and the Eretz, the observable universe, and then the earth where he kept man, and we said that he created that realm and put man inside, it stands to reason that there are other realms that God could have created and put other things there. And scripture may not explicitly account for that, because like we said again yesterday, the objective of God through scriptures is not to give man information of his creation and what he has done, rather to give man a revelation of himself. That's why scriptures speaks in the way it speaks. It's God's revelation to man, not God's information about the works of his hand. And though you may find information about how he designed certain things, but the objective at the end of the day is so that he himself will be revealed. So, but we see that from the beginning, God created a realm, the cosmos, and put man inside. Also, it's possible that God can also create another existence and put some other stuff inside. Which brings us to this. We'll say this and then we'll paint it for you through the revelation of scripture. That within God's creations, there are realms. Within God's creation, there are realms. When you are born on earth, you are born into this realm. And so you grow in this realm and become familiar and comprehend this realm. But there are still other layers of reality beyond what you can see in your observable cosmos. I use the word observable because you don't need any spiritual enablement to discover the depths. Like I told you, astronomers, scientists have explored outside of the earth and have taken note of the solar system and have started charting catalogs of galaxies and galaxies and galaxies. And if you do a lot of physics, you will already know that. If you do a lot of astronomy, which is also related to physics, you know all of this together. So they are able to observe the depths, and it's an unbelievable span. It's unbelievable. But all realm that they can observe is still part of your, just that you can't journey there easily. It's for you to stand at the edge of the galaxy. That is, the possibility exists. It's just that the technology to support that possibility is non-existent. But it is a possibility in terms of what is achievable, because the edge of the galaxy, which has been named the Milky Way galaxy because of the structure, is part of the observable and physical world. And that's why you see they can see it with their telescope and detect it by their human devices and contrivances and inventions, and detail it, and without having a need to be spiritual or having their eyes opened or any spiritual experience, but rather through natural and common scientific approach and the application of technology, they can discover depths and extents in the realm that you can't stand in one position and say you want to assess. But nevertheless, it's still possible. The reason is because even though you cannot reach the edge of the galaxy, it doesn't separate it from being part of this realm. In the beginning, God made the Shamayim, that is the heaven, the cosmos, the firmament, the stars, everything there. And then he made the Eretz, the earth. Shamayim and Eretz, like I've been saying, are actually the Hebrew words used at the book of Genesis. Kalabash Ketelebrekeskuparadash Nekesiko Ratakasize Neprehelesh Randabosh Ketelebre. Father, we give you praise. Use at the book of Genesis as we have been quoting. So even though those places are seemingly impossible to reach, it doesn't separate it from being part of the realm. Now, based on that design, there are still other layers of realms. Now, let me see, because what can you journey out of this realm is one thing, because scientifically, it has been discovered that even the universe we are in continues to stretch. And it's not even a theory of, okay, no, it's confirmed, it's stretching. So it means that if there was ever a billion years ago, the span of one edge of the universe to the other edge is not the same as it would be a billion years after, because it is the distance is increasing and stretching. So we can't even tell what happens when we come to the edge of the universe if one will fall out into another creation. But that is based on human reasoning. But the most important thing to understand is that within God's creations, there are realms. And as God created man, created this realm, the cosmos, and put man inside, God still created other realms and put other stuff inside. And there is a creation, there's an existence, there is a living reality going on there. And somebody will say, well, how can we account for that? And what does that mean? I'm not trying to show you that there are other kinds of living, you can still see humanity in another creation. No, the scripture does not state that. But humanity alone is not the only portion that God creates. And which is why I'm going to now show us through scriptures from where we read. If you look at the Bible in the book of Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says God created heaven in the beginning. And I pointed out to us that Moses wrote that book and he used the word in the beginning. The beginning talks about a starting point, a mark, where it begins. And you can't go beyond a beginning. Those of us that if you play a music is 4 minutes long, and you enjoyed it so much, you want to rewind it to the beginning.
You can't go beyond the 000 time frame, because that's the beginning of the track. As a matter of fact, if you try to move the slider too much, the software, if it's intelligent, will tell you that you have reached the end or the beginning of the track. You can't go beyond the beginning again, as for as long as it is your beginning. These are not confusing concepts if you pay attention. You can't go beyond the beginning. So beyond the beginning, it doesn't exist again. Which is why Moses, writing that book, started from a point that he couldn't go beyond. So he said in the beginning. He didn't tell us the beginning is, so this is the date of the beginning, or this is the year of the beginning. But in his revelation, what he saw at that point of writing that, he just got that when it all started. God created Shamayim and created the Eretz. He formed the cosmos, the universe, the earth, the heavens, the sky. But then he now created this environment where we now reside. But in saying that, there's something obscure there, and which is what I want to bring to light. If, and according to Revelation, God created the heavens and the earth in the beginning, where was God? Because the God that he spoke about creating is not an impersonal God. And what we mean by impersonal, just an environment or a concept or a philosophy or a wind. The God that Moses claimed started creating from the beginning is a personal God. It's a personality with intellectual ability, with perception, with intentionality and reason. Logical, he's a logical person, knows what he's doing. Like you can see in the beginning, he said, "Let us make man." He talks about rationality. But if the realm of man did not exist and he was creating it, so where was he standing and where was he creating it from? Because you can't create a realm together with yourself. If you say God created the earth in the beginning, he covertly highlights to you that God was before the beginning. That God was before the beginning. In the beginning, God. So at the point of the beginning, where Moses could know that we can't go further or backer, like somebody said several years ago, we can't go beyond in time, beyond this place. So let's start from here. At the point where Moses was saying this is the earliest age of the cosmos, Moses decreed that there was a fully developed personality already. It's more like your mom telling you when you were born. You don't have the intellectual capacity to comprehend anything at that point. You were just a minute old. But somebody is telling you when you were born, it points to you that this person was before I was. That's why when a friend talks and say, you see the time when they gave birth, you'll be like, look at this one. What do you mean when they gave birth to me? Were you there? How old are you? Because you know that question suggests that he was before you were. So Moses came and said that in the beginning, God. So he put God fully responsible for his actions at the point of the beginning, showing you that this personality existed before the cosmos was. So where was this personality occupying? And you can already see that Jesus said to the Pharisees that before Abraham was, I am. In the beginning, God. He was already existing. He wasn't growing. He wasn't like, okay, he was a kid God, a baby God, and then at that time he was still growing with the universe. No, he was fully responsible and functional. So he was before the beginning of the cosmos. But where was he? Where was he occupying? Where was he standing from to build? Where was he when he was to build? It points out to you that then there was another realm creation he was in, and then creating another creation. Maybe you need to pray in tongues a little to take it in. So go ahead, pray in tongues a little in your place. Where you are, just pray in tongues. Lakas kopele deges. Likot takalapasa. Netosh shikodogodosh. Shama tapalanata. Skepula tepalana maskipaladaya. Alababala kaskipolo dogodia. Kupalata skipalata kaskiporo bokoskapalata. Shkipa.
Thank you. In Jesus' most precious name, we pray.
So,
amen.
He was creating the cosmos. So there was another reality before the cosmos. And when I mean cosmos, the cosmos comprises of your universe and everything. He was before the cosmos was created. And in his day and his age, there was no Milky Way, there was no universe, there was no solar system, there was no sun, there was no moon, there was no earth, there was no Mars, there was no Pluto, there was no Venus, there was no Jupiter, no Saturn, nothing. But he was still existing. Where? In another location in reality. Then one day he came and said, I will create something. And then he created a realm. He created the universe. He created the cosmos. And then in the cosmos, he entered in the cosmos to form the earth, God. And then in the earth, he now formed the man and put him inside. And then returned to his place. And then visited the cosmos regularly. If you can now see a polarity of beyond reason, transdimensional operations. Where was God when he was creating the earth? He was in another realm of existence. Now, before you will say, okay, he was an environment all by himself, scripture teaches that there were still people that bore witness when he created the earth. So it wasn't like it was only God existing all over the place there. No, there were other inhabitants that bore witness when he made the earth. Which points to you that there was a growing civilization going on in another place. Now, it was God himself that said this. This thing I just said. So it's not like, where is it pulling up all these things he's saying? Let's see what God himself pronounced from Let's look at that in the book of Job. Job chapter 38. Alright, let's look at it from verse 1. This is God speaking. Say, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Have you seen anybody brag like that? I laid the foundations of the earth. Tell me if you have understanding. Job, all his brain now is question mark, question mark. You know when your teacher, when somebody writes something and submits for a homework or assignment, and the teacher can't make any meaning of what he has written, so the teacher puts a very big question mark, two or three, to show that what is this? So inside of Job's mind now, you just see multiple question mark. His system has broken down. An exception has occurred, an interface error. He said, who had determined its measurements? Scientific people, astrology, astronomers, cosmologists, astrophysicists, and scientists have told us that there's what is called the fine tuning of the universe. It's a doctrine in astronomy and astrophysics and in physics of the stars. It's called the fine tuning of the universe, and it's an evidence in science to prove that there is an intelligence behind creation. That fine-tune of the universe shows that everything in the universe is perfectly fine-tuned to support life. And it's not by accident. There are a whole lot of, like, 100 numerous parameters that if they are adjusted by a single digit, life will not exist again. And not just one factor. So they call it the fine-tuning of the universe. He says, so look at what God says. Who determined the measurements? That's where he's talking from. You see, or who laid its cornerstone? The cornerstone is that stone when they are building. that is the principal edge where it comes from. That in ancient design, they call it the chief foundation, the cornerstone. All the edification process proceeds from it. As a matter of fact, sometimes they use it to demarcate lands now. He said that when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, he's asking him, who determined, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When the morning stars sang together. So when God was creating, there was a praise and worship service going on. But if God didn't, the best way God could describe this congregation that we are praising him, you know the way when God is, you are in a crusade or you are in a meeting and healing is going on, people are worshiping, there's worship going on, people, they say a deaf ear just opened, a blind eye just opened, and then praise erupts, people are glorifying God because they are seeing his mighty works, then worship flows, praise go, people are dancing and celebrating because God is doing a work in their midst. A congregation was present when he was doing a work before them. And when God looked at Job, he said, morning stars. And then he said, sons of God. Obviously, these are heavenly and others, heavenly beings and also angelic beings. They were there and some of them were present bearing witness to the creation of this realm. If you look at the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17, John 17, look at what he said. John 17 verse 5, Jesus said, let's start from verse 4. Jesus was praying to his Father. He said, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Now, that statement, give me the glory. Because when Jesus took on flesh, he was humbled and he stepped out of glory to become like men and walked naturally as a man. So, momentarily, he was stripped off the fullness of the glory he had. So he said, give me that glory which I had with you before the world was. The Greek word that was used in that place where he said the world, the Greek word used is cosmos. That is, Jesus said, give me back that glory which I had with you before the cosmos was. There are a variety of Greek words used to translate as old. There's one called aeon, age, a period. But this one, he used cosmos. And you know what the cosmos is already. Give me the glory I had with you, mighty God, before the cosmos was. So that is, before the stepping in of the Son of Man into the earth, he had the glory with the Father before the cosmos. Before the cosmos. Which is why I said, before Abraham, I am. You can already understand why when Daniel saw a vision of God and he saw God sit down, his hair was white as wool. In that vision, he didn't know what best to call him. So he called him the antiquity of age, which is what is referred to as ancient of days. That is, this one is too ancient. You can't number how long God existed before he said, okay, let's create the cosmos. We don't have number for it. That's why they say eternal. That's why when you look at the concept of infinity in mathematics, when you begin to handle mathematical equations that have infinity, you have to deal very, very carefully because you can't quantify it. As a matter of fact, when you do some of those calculations, it tells you undefined. Give me again that glory I had with you before the cosmos was. There is another realm of civilization that was. There was a congregation that was praising God and worshiping Him and blessing His holy name as He was creating the cosmos. The same way when you are in life meetings and signs are working, cripples are working, blinders are getting healed, satanic oppressions are lifted, and then the praise of God is intensifying and more miracles are occurring because God is being worshipped and His glory is being demonstrated even more. That same kind of event went on. They were praying and worshiping in holy tongues and holy language, the language of the way, the watchers, the language of the stars, and they were just worshiping Him. And worshiping with holy sound from heaven going up, and God was making the stars, measuring it, determining the arrangement of the host and the burning gases, creating their components, aligning their atomic mass, balancing their isotopes in creation, designing and setting the influence of gravity, balancing the universe and installing designs that man would never be able to search out. Kotepele, there were stars giving praise to God. All this transpired in existence before ever there was a cosmos. That reveals to you that there are other and layers of reality and existence within creation, and each to his own domain. And as God created man, created the cosmos, and put man inside, there were other realms he created and put other of his creations inside of it. This reveals to you that there are realms in creation and gives you further understanding to this. Lekus nepetes sakanta bulashke panada kutalaba katalaba kesu kutulu yakata. They were praising God. They were in another, they were in this in existence. Now, as we are attempting to tie a knot tonight, a roundup for this weekend, I want to now summarily make reference to something that I want to capture as to the nature of what is physical and what is spiritual, as to the nature of what is physical and what is spiritual. People say spiritual, 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 and physical realm, spiritual. What is physical? A physical world, what is physical is what can be perceived by the present senses or the persistent senses that a living being possesses. So you will say that your book is physical because your eye sees it, your hand can feel it, and you can perceive it. But is the physical the opposite of the spiritual? No. Because even though God created man and put him in this world, and the man said this is the physical world, in the realm where angels dwell and where God dwells, what resides in that realm to him is physical. And if, and in other layers of existence where there are other living beings and other objects that occupy and elements that reside in that reality, what is before them is physical. So physicality or the nature of physicality is only describes cohabitance of elements within the same realm. Depending on the realm you are more conscious of, that's your physical realm. There are angelic dimensions where there are gates and fountains. That's physical to them. They sit on it. They drink from it. They walk on the streets of gold. They see the crystal sea. They see the throne of the Lamb. They know the cherubs. The cherubs are physical to them. From tonight, there are realms that will now be physical to you. The angel see the cherub. Ezekiel's revelation showed us that there was a man with an ink horn. And they told him, go and get coals from the cherubim. And he went and interacted with the cherubim. To him, the cherubim are physical. If he's not seeing them, he's not in their location. When Christ doesn't need to come in your vision, your dream. Christ can come to you while you are sitting on your chair. Kate kusupaladia. You read the visions of Kenneth Hagin, he's sitting down and then Christ comes. Kupalada kilobuske telebe. Christ is physical. He's not. But you say he's spiritual. The two terms don't. They are not the exact opposite of each other. You don't need to be in a vision to see Christ. That means you limit his power. He's not afraid of this dimension. He can walk through your wall and sit on your chair. Kenneth Hagin said when Christ came to his house, to him, and sat on his mattress, he compressed. It compressed, showing that he wasn't in a spiritual plane. He sat down naturally. Kate kumbateske palada. The chair, it carried some weight. When he came to the disciples, when he resurrected, he passed through the walls, but he told them, give me something to eat. These are other kinds of layers now. Spirituality is what you are. And because you have a physical body, oh my God. The Christ sat on his and then it compressed. He noted it. That this is not a vision. This is real. This is Christ directly before me. You don't have to close your eyes to see him when he fully comes. He will walk directly and invade your reality. And walk out. And they say when they gather, then they just saw him in their midst. And then before you know, he left their midst. He had come to a place where he could transit the dimensions or the realm and pass through them. So he's in heaven today, then he's on earth today. He's in UK today, he's in Brazil, then he's in Nigeria, then he's in this apostle's house. And then he's back sitting on the, he's just, my God. And then he walks physically. I know the story of a mummy. I don't want to go details. Had a physical encounter with Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ now walked out of the room. And she followed him outside of the room. And when she left and stood out, and the husband was coming in from work, I think he went out. And I said, where are you going to? He said, Jesus just left. It's him and fully. He just used the door now. Just announcing he has gone. Just come back. He can sit on your desk with you and talk to you. You say, is this the Lord before me? My eyes have seen you. Why do you think that Paul's physical eyes went blind when he saw the Lord? You think he fell into a trance? No. Jesus literally appeared and the brightness blinded his eyes. And when blind scales came upon him, it damaged his sight, his sense of vision. They had to recreate it. They say scales fell off. The old things, he just fell off. And then he saw again. That's why I said to you, say, have I not seen the Lord Jesus Christ? He was preaching in the book of 1 Corinthians. They are reality. As to the date, what is physical to you is what is traditional to the realm you operate in. The fan you are in, you are seeing physically before you. The table, whatever is before you. The television, the refrigerator. The human being, your brethren, your sister before you. It's because they are occupying the same plane as with you. when you start seeing the other realm clearly, then it's physical to you. When you can touch it and interact. Physical and natural are not exactly the same. Natural talks about the things that are of the earth nature. Physical talks about the things that are of the dimension. Local. The reality, understanding this reality, that there are layers of realm in creation and they are inhabitants of those realms and they are physical. You are physical. What tells you or what informs you that you are more real than the angels? To them, you are even the one who is less real because you are living in a realm that there is no full revelation of the glory physically. You are the one who is unreal. When people talk about it, they say, okay, let's talk about real serious things. No, you are the one who they say, let's talk about real serious things. What informs you that heaven is less real then is because you are so absorbed in what is environmental to you. You are so taken in this realm. But in the other realm, they even think you are the one who is not, because your realm is broken. It's still in the process of restoration yet. They are physical realms in creation. They are inhabitants of those realms. And there are things that go on in those realms. The same way you have your life, living it here, the angels have their routine. They have what they are doing. They are having a good time, living in the presence of God. The guardians of the orders of the galaxy, of the universe, the spiritual transdimensions, they have what they keep. The keepers, they have what they do. The stewards, the watchers, they know what they do. The existence, Michael is somewhere now. I know you've heard of the angel Michael. He exists in a plane now. Why you are not seeing him and you can't sense him is because he is not where you are. Gabriel exists somewhere in this plane, standing before the presence of God. You don't know what he looks like. You don't know what he senses like. You can't feel him or sense, discern his presence because he is not where you are. Once he feels that, once he is sent in your direction and he journeys directly into your plane and enters into your world, you will discern and hear his message. Will you now say he is not physical? If you can see him before you, then he's physical. That's why some people say Christ came to me physically. Why? They saw him, they touched him, they felt him. So those folks leaving you and coming to you, and you can't see them again, even if you observe, you search them in all the cosmos, you will find them. They are coming from another layer of reality. That is how God designed his creation. That is how he designed his creation, as revealed through scriptures again. In the beginning, God, as at the point of the beginning, he was already full, responsible. He was a responsible personality. What I mean by responsible is not about moral, somebody that is complete in sense and rationality and faculty, accountable for what he was doing. He wasn't a growing up God, he wasn't a teenage God. He wasn't a baby God or a kid God. He wasn't developing. He was full. He was before time. That day, God created Shamayim and Eretz. That was when God began to create time. I mentioned it. Where was he? He was in it, outside of time, forming time. And once he was done, he entered into it to complete the creation. And at the long run, he entered it fully and became a man. Which is why you can see him crying to himself through his son, saying, restore to me that glory I had with you before the cosmos was. Before we created this cosmos and this realm, I had a glory with you. That time we even had that this realm was not yet made. But now I'm asking you to restore me into that glory before the cosmos was. They are realms, they are inhabitants of those realms, and there's reality that goes on. You are not the only one coexisting in existence. There are other layers of reality. Whether you like it or not, at a point in time, your own world and your own reality was created. There were other realities that superseded your own. And even after this one is taken, there will still be other realities that continue. Father, what do you do? Makasku pelegedia.
understand tonight, therefore, the reality and existence of worms. Father, we give you praise. Jesus is Lord. Go ahead. Thank him and worship him. Give him all the praise. Give him all the glory. There's none like him. Father, we thank you for tonight. Receive praise and glory. Thank you, Most High God. Kupata kaski pakatusikati. Tepeletes kupata. In Jesus' most precious name, we are praying.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I believe, how many of us now have layers of foundations that give us context to support certain things? When this is gotten, it lifts you up from the traditional mentality of how to become spiritual, because how you understand certain things will determine how you will operate with it. If you go into a place and you see somebody wear t-shirt and jean and sits down in the reception, and you greet him, he greets you and asks you, "What's happening? How are you doing?" You get conversing with him. But you went there to meet somebody for an assistance or something. You talk with him, explain, he mentions a topic, you talk more things, you are interacting. The moment somebody tells you that that's the managing director of the company, all of a sudden, your attitude and how you relate will just automatically readjust itself. And then you start adding, "Sir." "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." You can't talk again. What happened? Revelation has adjusted association. It has reorganized relation. Revelation has reorganized your relation. How you related with him. The same way, when you have this, the understanding of spiritual dimensions and realms will determine how you relate. Some people close their eyes like they want to shut it out so that they can operate in the realm. Other people open their eyes and they are seeing visions. Their understanding of how this thing operates shows that it's not in the closing of eyes that you can even have your eyes open and be walking and be seeing what is. And this is not a situation where somebody shuts his eye to be more focused. But it is only when somebody says they have to shut their eye because it's in and see it. Some shut their eye so that they can see Jesus. Others are just sitting down and they see Jesus. The man, Robert Lang, a lot of literature in the God's Generals. The first appearance of Jesus to him, he was watching TV. And then Jesus Christ came to him. He wasn't in a vision, he was watching TV. And then Jesus Christ told him, "Say, this is what you do, this is what I've called you to do. Start reading and doing this." And then Jesus Christ left. I know what he did after he left. After Christ left, then he returned to watching TV back. So it wasn't like it was a trance. He came, spoke to him, left, then he returned back. It happened in his world. This understanding will now guide you on how to relate. So that much later in life, and as we proceed here and God giving us grace, when we come to now show us and teach us certain dynamics, when we are speaking at the level, we have to come and explain to you how realms operate again. We'll speak on the platform or basis of the fact that we know that you have the right understanding and perspective as to how realms coordinate. So that when I'm talking and I said atomic value of total, you don't the meaning of atomic value again. Ordinary chemistry to understand atoms of elements and properties of elements. The atomic mass, the electron affinity, and all that. Come and ask about layers and others. You already comprehend that too. We have done this and comprehend this. It gives you a posture to read. And even in your own personal life, you realize that sensitivity to God is about, is a function of how your spirit is able to be conscious and connect with his spirit, and not how tight you close the eyes.
It does help you. And of course it does. Congratulations. God is with you.